This is Smart Tech, episode 1521, The Technology of Barbecue, Cooking with a Traeger Pellet Grill. Hello and welcome to our newest episode of Smart Tech. I am your host, Chuck Minear. Last episode, I said it was our yummiest episode, but I don't know. I think this episode might be yummier than last episode. But I was trying to think of something new to say to open the show, and I'm at a loss for words. So we'll just call this one of the yummiest episodes of Smart Tech. We're going to talk about the technology of barbecue. Now, when you tune into a tech show, you don't really think of barbecue as being technology, but it really is. If you go back to the very beginning of Smart Tech, the very first episode, I defined technology. That was 2 years ago. Technology, the application of knowledge and the use of resources to meet human needs and solve problems. So, years and years ago, there was a need to keep meat so that it didn't spoil. And one of the ways that the pioneers did that was by smoking it. And smoking, low and slow, that low and slow kind of cooking methodology is called barbecue. Now, in the United States, we typically think of barbecue as grilling. And grilling is separate. Grilling is high and fast. So you would cook hamburgers on a grill. You would cook steaks usually on a grill. But on a barbecue, if you're actually going to really barbecue something, you're going to take time to cook it, low and slow. What does that mean? Well, you're typically cooking barbecue at around 200 degrees, sometimes around 180 to like 225. Sometimes it goes up to 300 in the mid to upper twos. But I would say when I look at recipes, the average is around 200 degrees, maybe a little bit hotter than that. And so when you cook something at 200 degrees and it's got to get up to, you know, 135 degrees or to 200 degrees, you realize that it's going to take a while to cook. And so you're looking at maybe a minimum of 2 hours and up to 13, 14, 15, 16 hours if you're going to cook something like brisket. So let's talk about barbecuing and let's talk about grilling, because I'm a guy and I like to eat meat. So what better topic is it, right? So grills are typically charcoal or wood-fired. The charcoal usually gets up to a little bit higher temperature. Newer grills run out of gas after you use gas. You can use natural gas in your home and have it plumbed, or most grills nowadays seem to use propane. There are even some grills that use electricity. That isn't really very common. The thing that people like about grills are usually the taste, and you do get a specific taste out of charcoal. Charcoal gives you a kind of barbecue-esque kind of a taste in a short period of time. You can usually taste when a hamburger has been cooked on a charcoal grill. It's charcoal-y. It's got that charcoal taste. I don't know how else to say it. It's charcoal. So the technology is basically the same for all grilling and all barbecuing. You have a fire of some sort at the bottom, and that fire heats up the cooking surface, and you put your meat on the cooking surface, and then the meat cooks. And the best flavor comes from the cooking, when the cooking medium is something other than gas, because gas is tasteless. So even though it does seem to still taste good when you have propane and you're outside cooking on a grill, I don't know what the difference is between that and like cooking on your stovetop, but it seems to taste better just because it's been outside, I suppose. So if you want to have really good barbecue, you take longer time, you cook it at a lower temperature, and you use wood. You burn wood, and the smoke from the wood cures the meat, and it allows the meat, if you cook it over a long period of time, it actually takes the meat and allows you to keep it for a longer period of time. So you can keep it in a cool, dry place. And the idea was when winter came, you would have a storage of protein that you could eat from. Wasn't always the best near the end of the winter, but still better than dying, I suppose. So cooking with wood and cooking with smoke was more of a necessity at the beginning than an art, which it is today. So one of the things that we mentioned earlier about barbecue is it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to barbecue something. And so it takes a lot of patience, a lot of being with the meat. You got to go out there, stoke the fire, make sure that the fire stays at a constant temperature. You don't want to get it too hot. And so you're constantly babying the fire, making sure it's exactly what you need. So if you have a 13-hour cook, that's a long time to sit in front of a barbecue and to, open the flue, adjust the temperature, pull out some wood, put in some more wood, and make sure that the meat is cooking evenly. So what if you could automate this? And that's where technology comes along. And that's where a company, a gentleman called, whose last name was Traeger, came up with an idea. If you live in a cold part of the country or a cold part of the world, you're used to what they call a pellet stove. And what you do is you buy this bag, and it's usually the leftovers of wood, from a sawmill. They take that wood, they compress it, usually put some binders in there to hold it together, and they compress it into these small pellets. And then they use these pellets instead of cutting firewood and cooking on that type of a stove. You would use these pellets in a special mechanism to heat your house. And it's much more efficient than just cutting wood and putting the wood in there. You can control the temperature much more. And so Traeger saw this and thought, what if you could adapt this to barbecue? And so he invented the pellet grill. And here's what it is. You got a grill. It looks like a typical grill. It's got a lid. It's got the metal grilling plates inside, and what you do is you hook to the outside a hopper that holds a bunch of these wooden pellets. Then you put an auger inside of that. So that's a big screw is what an auger is. It's the augers and the Traegers are a couple inches wide. I'm not sure how wide they are, but I'm guessing they're somewhere between 2 and 3 inches, probably two and a half. And the auger picks up, it turns slowly. There's a motor hook to it. It turns slowly. It picks up these pellets and it moves them through the auger from the outside of the grill in through a hole into the inside of the grill, where it deposits them in this pot. And in this little pot is a hot element. It's very, very hot. And that hot element lights the pellets on fire, and those pellets then smoke, and you can adjust how hot and cool the grill is by how fast you feed these pellets in. So the auger will turn faster or the auger will turn slower, and these pellets will feed into this container that has this hot rod in it. And once some pellets are ignited, the new pellets fall on top of the old pellets, and they're ignited by the old pellets. So you don't have to run the igniter, that hot element. You don't have to run it all the time. All you have to do is use it to kind of start the grill up. And then it may switch on every once in a while if the grill gets too cool, but pretty much it's feeding itself. Then inside the grill, you also put a thermometer. And on the front of the auger, where your pellets are, is an adjustment. It's a temperature adjustment. So basically, you plug in the auger, so you have to have power for the grill, but it doesn't take up very much power. It's like using a 50-watt light bulb. You plug this in, you plug the grill in, a little LED light comes on, and it tells you what the temperature of the grill is. You set the knob to whatever temperature you want the grill to be, or the smoker, and then the auger adjusts the feed of the pellets by the temperature. So the temperature probe tells a little microprocessor in the hopper, hey, speed up. You know, this guy wants it to be 450 degrees in there. So speed up the auger, put more wood in there, or slow down. He wants it low. And so slow down the auger and only put a certain amount of wood pellets into the into that container. Now, the nice thing about this is you don't need propane or gas. You don't need any other kind of fuel. You just have these wood pellets. The wood pellets, believe it or not, are pretty reasonable. And the other thing that you have to be careful of with the wood pellets is that you're buying cooking pellets, because the difference is that between a stove and a grill is that the stove can pretty much use any kind of wood in it. They use a little bit of glue or kind of a glue-like substance to compress those pellets and bind the wood together. What Traeger does is they use pressure to compress that wood and to hold it together into the pellets. So everything in that pellet is natural. It's edible. In fact, they say it's 100% wood. So I'm assuming that they just use extreme pressure to kind of bind that wood dust, wood chips together, and to make your pellets. So now you have one thing that theoretically, anyway, you can set and you can walk away from. I can fill this hopper up with a whole bunch of pellets. I can get whatever kind I want. I can get apple wood or hickory or mesquite or cherry, or I can mix and match. Sometimes competition barbecue people will take not just one type of wood. They'll mix wood together to get a certain flavor profile. So you can do that if you want to. And you put these pellets into the hopper. You set it to the temperature you want it to smoke at. There's actually a smoke setting, and you can set it on that. And it just puts so many pellets out in a regular interval. Or you can set it to a temperature. And the grill or the barbecue keeps that temperature fairly accurately. I've noticed fluctuation in the temperature by the temperature of the atmosphere. There are other companies besides Traeger that make pellet grills, but Traeger's the original. If you spend more on one of these grills, you'll probably get a heavier gauge of steel that they use to make the grill. So it's going to keep temperature better and probably use less pellets if you get a more expensive unit that's thicker. But if you're only using the grill, you know, once or twice a week, every so often, then the cheaper grills will work well. Now, I never really owned a Traeger grill in the past or a wood pellet grill because they were pretty expensive. But what got me into the fold of using a pellet grill was a trip to Costco. And Traeger has a traveling show in Costco. And what's nice about Costco, of course, you know, if you're a Costco member, is that you can return things to Costco if you don't like it. The Costco deal had the grill itself with the hopper. I believe it included a bag of pellets, a cover, and a cookbook. So about $100 worth of extra material came with the Traeger than you would normally buy just through their website. And the tailgater on their website is $449. So it was a little under $100 cheaper at the Costco Roadshow. So what I would do is call around to Costco. If you're interested in looking at one, call around to your local Costcos and see when Traeger will be in the house. So Traeger has a wide range of them. I told you about the one that I bought. Their cheapest one is called the Portable Table Desktop Design. It's small. It's only got 173 square inches of cooking. It's $300. It goes from there, goes to the tailgater, which is the one, as I said, the one that I got, which is 300 square inches of cooking. You can pretty much do two large steaks on there, or one chicken, and I'm going to attempt a turkey Thanksgiving. So you could probably fit in there fine. That one sells for $449. That's their list price. They go up to some that seem to compete with the Weber kind of price range at $1,299 for the Select Pro. And they go all the way up to a double commercial trailer, which has two Traegers back-to-back, 850 square inches of cooking service, two independently operating units, a cargo box, and an easy-to-tow trailer. So it sits on top of a trailer, and that'll only put you out $6,395.99. So you can go anywhere from $299 to $7,000. Well, no, $6,500. So you all know how to run a regular barbecue or a regular grill, I'm sure. Let me tell you the steps you would take to use a Traeger, just to see if this is something you might be interested in. I kind of explained a little bit of it earlier, but let me go a little more step by step. So my Traeger sits out on actually a counter outside. I don't have the legs on it. It's small. It sits next to my regular propane grill. You go out to the Traeger, you plug it in, you fill up the hopper with whatever kind of hardwood you want. You turn it to smoke, and you open the lid. And you open the lid. Opening the lid creates kind of a airflow through the unit and helps the fire really kind of get going in the pot there. In the meantime, the auger's turning those pellets. The pellets drop into that little container, and that hot rod in there ignites the first pellets. And you get a pretty good fire out of that. When I first got the unit, I started it up without, there's a tray, a drip tray in there, and I took the drip tray out, and it fires up pretty well. It does have a drip tray that sits underneath the grill. You cover that with aluminum foil so it's easy to clean. And the drip tray runs out the side into a little bucket. So any drippings, any grease, drips down to the drip tray and flows out into that little bucket, which can be easily emptied. So it's pretty easy to clean. After the smoke starts, you see it's starting to smoke. If you're going to smoke something, you put whatever you want onto the grill and you close the lid. And then you come back 2 hours later, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, however you decide or your recipe says to smoke whatever you're doing. So you smoke that. So let's say you put barbecued ribs on there, and it's typical to smoke ribs for around 3 hours. So you put it on there on smoke for 3 hours. Once the thing gets going, you can leave it. I suggest coming back and checking every so often, but basically for those 3 hours, you do not have to baby the grill. As long as there's enough pellets in there, it should continue to run. Now, when you're done smoking, sometimes you want to turn the heat up and you want to cook at a higher temperature for a while, depending on what recipe you have. And so you just turn the knob to the temperature you want, up to 450 degrees. My experience, it'll get up to around my tailgating unit will get up to around 500 degrees. I know some of the bigger units will get up to even more because they have more BTUs. So then you cook for the amount of time you need to cook. I have my iGrill probe in the center of the meat, the wire coming out into that unit. I can actually tell what the temperature of the meat is. And if you want to find out about the iGrill and just use it with your regular grill, go to our episode 1520. I talked all about it. But I use that to monitor the temperature of the meat. And so I can go inside and I can look on my phone and I can see via Bluetooth what the temperature of the meat is inside the grill the whole time the thing is cooking. I can also put an ambient temperature probe if I want to in the Traeger and monitor that separately, although the auger unit is supposed to be keeping that temperature pretty steady. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes you need to make a slight adjustment. But after you get the adjustments made, really, there's not a lot you have to do with a thing. You do not have to baby it like you baby most smokers or most other grills. And you can change the flavor profile of the food by just changing the type of wood you're burning. So now let's say you're done. There's actually a cool down mode. You turn the knob over to cool down, and the microprocessor in there kind of empties the auger and lets the fire go out and shuts the unit down, basically. There's a shutdown protocol so that the unit shuts down properly. So let's say you're done cooking and you want to clean up. What do you do? The easiest thing, I found this barbecue is the easiest to clean that I've ever had. I said there's a drip tray. Well, first of all, you got the grill grates, right? You take a wire brush, you clean those off. Those are pretty easy. Underneath that is the drip tray. The drip tray is covered with foil. I do not remove the drip tray between every single barbecue, but about the recommendation of Traeger is about every bag of pellets that you use, you should probably change out the foil on the drip tray. But that's pretty easy to do. You can lift out the drip tray, and underneath you'll find that little container that the pellets drop into. It's a good idea to get a shop vac and to vacuum out that, and there's usually some very fine ash down there. It's very efficient. Burning those pellets is very efficient. There's not a lot of ash, but there is some. So after several barbecues, you'll probably want to take a shop vac and vacuum out the inside, and that's it. Now, the other trick, though, is I've got a bunch of pellets in there, right? Let's say I filled up pellets and I used half of them, and I still have a bunch of pellets in there, and I'm having a new barbecue, and I want to barbecue using a different type of wood. What do I do? Well, you can also use your shop vac to, I found the easiest way is to use a shop vac and vacuum out the pellets. But you say, I've used that to clean out all the crap inside of my barbecue. I don't want the pellets to take on the taste of the ash or anything else that I've cleaned up with it. So I have actually an answer for that. I saw online that somebody used a bucket head shop vac. And what is that? Well, I will put a link to the bucket head and the Traegers on our website, www.smarttech.tv. You just go there, S-M-A-R-T-T-E-C-H, two T's in the middle, .tv. Go there, and you can click on links, and you can look at all these different things. I'll put a couple videos on there, too. What a bucket head is a Home Depot kind of poor man shop vac, and it fits on those orange Home Depot buckets, which is just the coolest thing. So there, it's only like $22. So it's really cheap. And what happens is you take the bucket. So I have one bucket that is my kind of junk bucket. It's the one that I use when I'm cleaning out the Traeger. And by the way, do not vacuum the ash right after you cook something. You want to let everything cool off. You don't want a little fire in the bucket. But what I have is I have my trash bucket, and it's clearly marked. And I put my shop vac head on top of that, and I clean out the unit. Then I have a different bucket for each type of pellet. So I have a bucket for hickory pellets, and a bucket for apple pellets, and a bucket for my mixture of pellets that I like, and a lid for each of those. So if I have hickory inside my hopper, all I have to do is take the lid off of the hickory bucket, put the bucket head on top of it, vacuum out all of the unused pellets. They go back into the bucket for the hickory. Take the bucket head off, put the lid back on. So for $25, I have an answer for this, and it's great. And if the stupid bucket head goes out, and mine hasn't yet, but if it goes out, it's $21, $22 to buy a new one and to replace it. I just use the bucket head for the Traeger. I don't use it for other things. I have a regular shop vac somewhere else. But it's just really, really handy to have it there next to my barbecue. So that's it. That's the way I've been barbecuing lately and even grilling on there. One other thing that people have asked me is, can you cook steaks on there? Because I mostly cook steaks and hamburgers on my grill. You can get the Traeger hot enough, and depending on the size of Traeger, the bigger the Traeger, the more heat you can get out of it. The small ones you can get up to around 450 degrees, which is plenty hot to cook hamburgers. I like to cook to sear steaks at like a 500 degrees or so. So my Traeger sits next to my regular grill. Those of you who are into grilling know that one of the best ways to make a steak is to sear the steak at a really high temperature. You get the grill really, really hot. You sear the steak both sides. You season it, sear it, lower the temperature, and then cook the meat the rest of the time. And that searing keeps in the juices. But the nice thing about smoking at a low temperature, around 200 degrees, is that the juices tend to stay in the meat. It doesn't really dry out too much when you do that. So you can do a thing in a smoker called a reverse sear, which means if I'm going to do ribeye, I will take the ribeye, I will put it into the Traeger on smoke for about 30 minutes. Then I will turn on my grill, turn that up to my, 500-600 degrees, so it's really, really hot. And for the last few minutes, I will grill it on the grill. You get that great smoky flavor in the steak, and you get the grill marks and the sear and that kind of crust that I really like on a steak by doing this method. You can also pull the steak, turn the Traeger up if you only have a Traeger, and sear it that way. And there's some other techniques you can do to sear the steak in the Traeger. But I found using my propane grill, which I already have, and my Traeger together really give me some nice, juicy, smoky flavored steaks. So who knew that Smart Tech was going to turn into a cooking show? We've had 2 weeks of cooking, but I'll tell you what, technology has really helped in the grilling arena. Not only do you have units that can help you keep the temperature of your grilling perfect, but you also have units now with little microprocessors that keep things even and let you spend time with your family and that limited time you have on the weekend at home doing other things than just standing around, the grill, manning things for hours and hours if you're trying to slow cook barbecue. If you want more information about the Traeger, how it works, you want links to videos on it, you want to see what a bucket head is, go to our website, www.smarttech.tv. All the links will be there. There'll be a couple demo videos, and I would suggest trying it out. The nice thing, as I said, about buying a unit like this at Costco is you can go buy it, try it out, see whether it's something you would use. And if not, take it back. They take returns. It's kind of a win-win situation. Or find a friend who has a pellet grill. Doesn't need to be a Traeger. There are other brands of pellet grills, and those brands are really good. But I'm not going to go into all the different ones. You can research that yourself. Find a friend who's got a pellet grill and go see it being used. Most people who start using them don't go back, as I found. They become kind of fanatics. People who own Traegers call it Traegering. There's a subculture for that. There are websites for it. There's Facebook fan clubs for it. People give recipes out, and it's just a fun thing to do. But what I like is being able to come home after a long day of work and use a smoker and use it effectively without having to make it like a day activity, which you have to do for certain cuts of meat. But like I said, for hamburgers, you can cook meatloaf on it. And people have said, I haven't tried this, but you cook pizza in the smoker. You put it on smoke and you put a pizza in there and you get a smoky, flavorful pizza. So there's all kinds of recipes you can try. Anyway, more information, www.smarttech.tv. We'd really appreciate speaking of Facebook, if you'd like our Facebook page, if you would join our mailing list, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. All of those things are possible on our website. And for all you Android users, we will soon be available on Google Play. Google Play is going to start carrying podcasts, a kind of a competition with iTunes. And we've already been approved as one of the first podcasts that are going to be available on launch day through Google Play. Not sure when that's going to happen, but as soon as they turn on the switch, I will let you know, and you can subscribe to us not only through iTunes, but through Google Play. And of course, we're already available also through Stitcher, if you use Stitcher, and the TuneIn Network. We're also part of the Tech Podcast Network. So we're really growing. We're trying to reach out to different sources of distribution. But the easiest way to find us, the easiest way to know what's going on in smart tech is our website, www.smarttech.tv. I kind of went on today because, you know, when I start talking about meat and food and smoke and all of that kind of stuff, you know, I get really excited. And like I said, we turned into a cooking show. But I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, leave your comments on our website or on our Facebook page. I will be happy to answer any questions you have about this or any other technology-related item. So until next time, I need to hurry out and pull my brisket off of the Traeger. This is Chuck Minear for Smart Tech, hoping that this episode has not only left you hungry, but a little bit smarter about tech.